Husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This program promotes gospel living amid everyday challenges and opportunities of marriage and family life. Today's program is on making General Conference more meaningful in our homes. I'm Matthew O. Richardson, second counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency. And today I am joined by two guests, Erin Sanderson, who is a primary general board member. Welcome, Sister Sanderson.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's nice to have you here. Tell me just really quickly a little bit about your own family.
Well, I have seven children and expecting our second grandchild next week.
Oh, congratulations. That's
very
so exciting.
Excited. Yes.
This week, you say?
Yes, this coming week.
Isn't it so nice? That's one of the things I love about families, ever-changing, always new experiences. Just when you think that you have everything down pat and you know what to do, they're a year older. And you're saying, wait a second, I thought I had the toddler stage down. And then next thing you know, they're young adults. Next thing you know, they're married and they're having children of their own.
Right.
So you're in the thick of everything. You've been there, done that, and doing that.
Yep. It's great.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
We also have Linda Burton, who is the Relief Society General President. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's so nice to have you here.
It's always nice to be with you.
By the way, I must say that I truly enjoyed your conference talk this last general conference, as well as I don't know if I should admit this, but I also watched the General Relief Society meeting. Here I am, a man, tuning in and hanging on every word. What a wonderful experience that was, and a great teaching opportunity for women and members of the church throughout the world.
Thank you. Appreciate that support.
Sister Burton, tell us a little bit about your family.
I have six children, and we have 19 grandchildren, two on the way, so we are in the thick of family and loving every minute of it.
That is so great. That is great. Well, in talking about General Conference, I have experts here because we've been in the trenches of having General Conference as part of our homes. And actually, it's interesting, after our General Conference this just recently, is our family started saying, well, when are we doing this? And when are we going to do that? And when are we going to do this? And I started to realize how many traditions have been built in our family around General Conference. So the conference itself is a tradition, but there are so many attached venues that has such deep meaning to my children and even my grandchildren as they were talking about this, is when do we do this part? And I thought, what a neat thing that truly is. And so before we launch into some of the ways that we can make a conference more meaningful, I'd like to just pick your brains and your hearts. Because, you know, as the Doctrine and Covenants says, is the Spirit works through both our mind and our hearts. So this is important. Of what makes this conference, General Conference, what makes it so unique or so special? This is not just a typical gathering of saints. I don't think that it's simply because of the sheer numbers involved. There's something going on here about General Conference. What are your thoughts on that? Why is General Conference so unique and so special in your opinion?
Well, it's just such an exciting time. And, you know, we've tried to always emphasize to our children that we have an opportunity to hear what we need to know for right now. You know, we have this world that we live in that's so chaotic and so evil, and we have an opportunity to hear how we can deal with life. And it's just such an exciting thing to know that we have that blessing.
That's so good. I love what you're saying is right now. That kind of popped out. This is a message for right now. And then I also liked how you were saying is it helps us learn to deal with the world. I think that that's an important aspect, is if you've ever had a question in your mind, or if you're ever, like most parents, I know that I've been here and still am there, is, am I doing the right thing? What can I do to improve my family? This is a great resource to be able to find that help right here and right now. Linda?
I think one of the things that makes General Conference so unique, it is the living reality of one of our articles of faith. The ninth article of faith states that we believe in revelation and now, here and now. And so we see that come about, and this conference was one especially that we saw that in action. And I just think here we are watching the Lord's chosen servants reveal to us what we need today.
That is so good. And I think that that's an important aspect of this, is we are hearing from the Lord's chosen servants. They are prophets, and so therefore they are really speaking for God. We believe that. You know, the Doctrine and Covenants says, whether it's my voice, Christ would say, or the voice of my servants, it is the same.
It is the same.
And they are also seers. I kind of chuckle a little bit inwardly on this one, because for Latter-day Saints, we think that that might be one word or a hyphenated word, prophets, seers, revelators, you know, kind of a thing. And I like the fact that we do that, because they do come together to enhance that opportunity. But seers, they can see things if with spiritual eyes, both past, present, and future, and link that together, and then revelators to reveal or to uncover or unfold. What a blessing this is, really a blessing. And so I like this. We started General Conference a long time ago, actually. The first General Conference would have been in April 6th of 1830. That was the beginning. And I guess that's why we call it the annual conferences, every April from 1830 onward. And very few conferences have we ever missed over the years. We had one in 1846 where the saints were a little bit across the plains of Iowa, mired in the mud and a little difficult to gather, but I think the desire was there. But other than that, we have been very good at having general conferences to instruct the saints, and I think that that is a great blessing. Okay, once again, help me on this. What do you think some of the conference purposes are? Why would the Lord have us hold conferences, especially a general conference for the general membership? Any thoughts on that of what are some of the things, or what have you known to be purposes, Linda?
Well, I think one of the strengths is in gathering. There is really strength in gathering. I think of several of the people I've met over in the last couple of weeks that have come to General Conference just to feel the strength. They are in outlying areas and need to feel the strength. And when they come and see how many others believe like they do, they go away uplifted and strengthened. And that's even before they have even received the messages and inspiration. Then they just float out of there. It's just such an uplifting and inspiring experience.
You know, I don't know if you've had the same experience, but for me, this gathering aspect is, I remember the first time when a general conference session opened and sitting on the rostrum and looking out on that conference center to see how many saints were gathered. I try not to get emotional about this, but every time when conference starts or I think about this, it is a deeply emotional spiritual experience for me, is to look out among the congregation and see the saints gathered. It is a powerful concept.
I absolutely second that. There is just something incredible about seeing
it is
the Lord's children.
And then if you have the thought of how many you're not seeing, when you have a worldwide membership of 14 million and how many are tuning in and watching either on a radio, on a laptop computer, on a mobile phone, whatever it might be, and you think of all of those saints worldwide gathered together with one heart and one mind, or hoping to have one heart and one mind,
sure.
It is a tremendous experience. And therefore, I think that it is a unique conference in and of itself. You know, I couldn't help but think of something as you were talking about this gathering. Isn't that a nice model for families, though? I think of my own experiences. Here the Lord says, I need you to gather together, and I'm going to instruct you that you might stand blameless without spot. This is D&C section 37 and 38. I want you to be together, and I will add that protection. And then he says, I will endow you with power from on high. And as you were speaking, I couldn't help but think of, wait a second, this is like what families should be doing, is when we gather together, we have the same principle going on. It's mini conferences in a way, or mini general family conferences. Other thoughts on purposes or reasons we gather together for general conference?
You know, we have the scriptures, and there's so much in the scriptures that give us knowledge and that give us inspiration. But at general conference, we can go with questions, and you know, we might be struggling with something in our lives, and we can receive specific instruction for what we need right now, for what we're dealing with right now. And that's what I love about General Conference, that I can have things going on in my life, and I know that I'll hear something specific for me at conference, because I'm listening for that.
Tell me a little bit more about the phrase, go with questions. I like that. What do you mean by that, or how does one go about doing that? Go with questions.
Well, you know, this is kind of how we try to prepare our family for conference, too. We say, you know, what's going on in your life right now? Like, what do you need help with, or what decisions are you struggling with? Maybe what principles of the gospel are you struggling with? Just anything that you have a question about, you can listen for those answers, and you will hear them.
That's really good, Linda.
I'd really like to back that up with a testimony. years ago, I was serving in the young women, and we were having our mutual activity, and one of the young men came in, my neighbor, two houses away from me, and he was supposed to give the talk that night, the youth talk, and he strutted in there, and I says, "Are you ready for your talk?" And he says, "Of course I am. Why would you ask me?" I said, "Oh, just a look on your face." Anyway, it was the week before conference, and he stood up there and challenged everyone to come with a question for general conference that it would make it more meaningful. And it was one that went right to my heart. And I know I'd done it before, but this time I really did it in earnest. And it was something really sweet. We hadn't anticipated to be able to be in the conference center, but somehow, because we went earnestly, tickets fell into our hands, and we were able to sit pretty close up to conference. And before conference even began, the music that was played was a family special number to us. It was the particular number was, and it was like Heavenly Father giving us a tender mercy, saying, "Okay, you're in the right place at the right time." In the first session of conference, three speakers addressed the question that was on my mind.
Wow.
And I went in much gratitude home, realizing Heavenly Father had poured out His Spirit because I came asking a question. So I agree 100%, Aaron.
And I think that this is an important concept, is as we prepare for a conference, rather than just kind of showing up and saying, "Okay, I'm ready for it. Let's see what you got going for me." I like this concept of thinking, pondering, coming up with a question. I mean, this is a scriptural experience of being able to have the gospel revealed to us, is ask and ye shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And I think that I love this concept of encouraging beforehand is the principle to prepare for this experience and have something in store, or at least asking the Lord to prepare us and then present what we need.
I think another part of that, Matt, is you talked earlier about coming and letting the Lord reveal to us specifically, and it's like a feast. And I'm reminded of another friend that I heard a talk from just in our state one time. I think it was around ward conference time or state conference time, and he says, "I have determined that I will never miss a feast that the Lord is preparing for us, no matter how small we think it might be. I'm going to be at the appointed time, the appointed place." And then he used Luke 14 about the supper of the Lord, and I thought, what greater feast do we have than at general conference, and the Lord can reveal specific things to us in special ways.
Oh, I like this a lot. As a matter of fact, when I think of feast, maybe this is not a good thing to reveal. I think of a large spread. I mean, when I think of feast, I don't think of everyone gets a small one pea and one carrot and here's half a cracker for you, you know, kind of a thing. I think of something that is not only going to be filling, but something that is very tasty. Mm. But there's a lot there. And I think of General Conference, there is a lot there. And while it's very specific perhaps to our particular need, it's also very tasty, and sometimes we don't realize, oh, boy, that was very good. I didn't realize as we start to unfold this feast, it's really a wonderful experience.
That's why we can't take it all in at once. We have to keep going back, don't
keep
we?
Keep going back.
For
it.
Seconds and thirds and fourths.
Yes.
You know, isn't
go
that
back.
The truth?
Yeah.
Is especially with General Conference. Like, I'll have to admit, just after the General Conference we had, I couldn't wait to start reading because there's some things I thought, you know, I want to make sure I got that. And then have you ever had the experience where you go back to read General Conference talks looking for something like, where is that? I know they talked about that and I can't find it. Or rereading conference talks and saying, when did they slip that one in?
That's
there?
Right.
Who's doing the editing on
yeah.
these? And usually what I'm finding is when we are seeking and when we are looking for experiences, the Lord often augments the experience through the Spirit to teach us what we need to know in ways that we understand. And I think this is beautiful, actually. It's a mercy. It's a mercy.
That's really true. One of the things we do after conference is we talk to each other and say, what did you feel like the theme of that conference was? And it's really interesting to hear the different answers. You can tell, you know, what's going on in each of their lives or what's important to them at that time because of what they're hearing in conference. You know, to me, it might be about family or it might be about parenting. And to somebody else, it might be about the atonement or about repentance or about testimony. I think it's really fascinating to talk to the children after conference and say, so what did you feel like the theme was of that conference?
You know, one thing I like about this is I like how specific it is, but how open that is. For example, often when we talk to our children, let's say at dinner time after the day is coming to a close and you say to your children, so what'd you learn at school today? And so they're, oh, okay, well, and they go off. And that's a great question. I like the fact that you have the opportunity to open conversation and dialogue. One of the things that you mentioned, Aaron, that I really thought was interesting is not just what did you like about conference? I mean, that's a good question, and it's a sure. question that could be and should be asked, I think. But I like how you kind of almost focus it. What did you think the themes were? What did you see as a theme? Not necessarily, well, I like this talk exclusively. We always get to that as well. Our children will go through their favorite experiences. And then I always ask, well, what did you hear them say? And it's interesting to hear what they say. But I like this opportunity of saying, what are you seeing as a theme of many talks? Are there things that are tying together? Because I always find that there are threads. And it seems like they kind of come together, and even though they might be on different topics, they weave together in a beautiful fabric of the gospel.
Absolutely amazing.
It is.
Isn't that fun?
Every year I think, how can conference get better? and it does, and it's because of these weavings. It's the more they're intertwined and the more they go deep into our heart because we can see the threads that the Holy Ghost is weaving through.
That's good. So what are ways to see those threads? In your own experience, how do you go about seeing the threads of conference? I think that we say, well, we just go and we listen, but there might be a little bit more to that of seeing threads. Any thoughts on that, of how conferences work together or these opportunities?
I think one way is, again, preparing yourself spiritually. I know that I love to listen to general conferences, previous ones, before going into general conference because it kind of gets your mind into that mode, and it you can start seeing themes from past conferences, and it opens up your minds to what's about to happen. My daughter had mentioned that she and her husband make a specific effort after all the kids are in bed. They have five of them, that they, several weeks before conference starts, listen to a general conference talk together to get that mind open and become receptive to that.
Oh, that's really great. And with today's technology, it's easy to access, whether it be written, to listen, or even watch. I mean, everything is downloadable. Everything is viewable. I like this. So they would listen together after the kids are in bed, preparing for conference of the previous conference.
And then they talk together. There's some leadership principles right there. We prepare ourselves spiritually. We counsel together. And then hopefully we're applying that to also enhance that learning as we minister to each other and our children. We're getting into that mode. We're becoming more Savior-like and so that we can open up our mind and
possibilities to serve. As a matter of fact, when you say counsel together, I couldn't help but think, I love this. When you say leadership principle, is this counseling. But if there's anything that I have seen either in the research or in interviews dealing with marriage and family, particularly in LDS cultures, is if they could somehow come to this concept of being counseling together, being counselors one to another. But one of the things that you said that just I thought, wow, this is really powerful, is not only are they just counseling together between husband and wife, but they're counseling with prophets, seers, and revelators in an interesting sense of discussing what prophets are asking. And so there you have this wonderful addition of a counsel. It's not just what do you want to do, sweetheart, and what do you want to do, honey, but it's what do we need to do, meaning our covenants are me, you, and the Lord. And through his chosen service, it helps frame that counseling. This is really nice.
Wonderful. And what if they open that up to the children, let the children be part of that and say, what do you think we ought to do to prepare for general conference?
Oh, I really like this. I was talking to one of my secretaries this week, and she said that her family motto is together we can. Mm. And I thought, this is a great family motto. And she goes, and then we always add something to it. I go, what do you mean you add something? She goes, well, it depends on what we're trying to accomplish. Together we can save. Together we can not argue. Together we can be happy. You know. And then they would say, and then we work on it. Together we can prepare for conference.
Yeah. Wonderful. I love
isn't,
that,
isn't
too.
Isn't that nice?
Ooh,
I
might have
really
to copycat
great.
That one. I wonder if they've got it copyrighted.
Well, I don't think so. As a matter of fact, okay, here's an admission, is I'm the great gleaner, and I'm not even embarrassed anymore.
Ooh, gleaning. I like that better than coffee. I'll copy that.
There you go. When I hear a good thing, I'm thinking, I like that, and I'll either tweak it or find a way to make it fit, but I am not ashamed of learning from others. I mean, I've learned so much already here, is I'm saying, hey, this would be a good thing to try or to share with my own family. One thing that you mentioned that I thought was really nice in preparing for conferences, my wife actually does this, and I admire this and about her. I admire many things, but this is one thing in preparing for conferences. She will take, as soon as the conference issue of the Ensign or Liahona will come out, she will take that and she goes and she has it bound with a little spiral binding on it so that it's a little bit more durable, etc. And she will begin to devour conference again. And she is bright, she is intelligent, and she consumes things like, when she reads, like no other.
But yet it takes shows. I have met Lisa, and it shows in her countenance, and she is bright and beautiful because of it.
She's such an admirable person. And but it takes her about 6 months to get through the conference message. And I thought, boy, that's taking you a long time, sweetie. What's going on? But she thinks and she highlights. I mean, for me, those previous issues of the Liahona and Enzyme are treasures. But the thing that I couldn't help but think of, what a difference it makes for her, is she has the previous conference fresh on her mind going to the next one. It's a continual pattern. There's never a day for her almost where she goes without the prophecies and revelators and conference messages. And I thought that's really a neat way to prepare. So whether it's listening, reading, preparing, this is great. Other thoughts on how we do this, Erin?
Well, when you talk about counseling, that's something that we like to do after conference. And I think it's a good opportunity for the children to kind of internalize what they've heard. You know, by talking about it, it really helps it to get down deep in their hearts. And also by talking about it, it gives them an opportunity to feel a witness of the Spirit that what they're saying is true. And so I think counseling with the children after conference really helps to build their testimony of the things that they've heard and the things that they've learned, because vocalizing it is it's so powerful for learning and remembering and receiving a witness of the truth.
I think what you're saying too is you're saying as parents, this matters. You know, we just didn't listen and go on with our merry way. This matters.
That's right. And it extends beyond just a weekend, actually. It matters enough that we talk about it, and I like this. You know, another thing that I think is so important of what you're saying is I couldn't help but think of President Packer, where once, it's one of my favorite lines, he said, the finding of a testimony is in the bearing of a testimony.
Yes, right. Yes.
And so I think what you're saying here is very powerful, because as we begin to articulate things of the Spirit, words of prophets, the same is true of scriptures, as we start to articulate even the way that we perceive them, it allows the Spirit to come and testify to us that what we're saying is true. It magnifies that to others that they might feel the Spirit, what he or she is saying is true. And that's the beauty of counseling, is when the Spirit comes in, it guides and directs our thoughts and our feelings and our comments in wondrous ways. So this is really good. I like this. I was thinking also, as you were talking about counseling together, one thing I've gleaned over the years is sometimes is ask questions. So what did the prophets, seers, and revelators ask us to do? Did you hear anything that they asked us specifically to be working on? For me, this opened up a whole new experience, because sometimes they actually aren't just giving, here's some advice or good counsel. There are times when they will specifically say, will you please do this? And that's a fun concept to talk about. Or what are some of the warnings? Were there any warnings that they said specifically? I mean, these are prophets and watchmen and those who are called general officers, men and women who are called with this responsibility. What did they warn us about? Is there anything specific? And boy, I've learned a lot from my children where they're saying, yeah, they said, watch out for this. Be careful of this.
That is great teaching.
And it's a great learning.
It's very consistent with the prophets throughout the ages. They've always warned and they've always admonished and invited to
Good.
Act.
And they will continue to do that. So we find that in the scriptures from the earliest time. And every conference, regardless of the speaker, will always have an element, because this is the responsibility to warn, to counsel, to instruct, to uplift.
I was going to say, and promise blessings.
Oh, isn't
they
that the
always
truth?
Promise blessings.
You know, and sometimes we'll even talk about that. That's something that's always on our mind in the Richardson home is what is the doctrine that has been taught? What have we been asked or invited to do? And what blessings will come from that?
Yeah.
And sometimes when we say, or my children say, this is a promise blessing, then sometimes we'll say, did they attach anything to that blessing? Do we need to do anything, did they say, to receive that blessing?
Connecting the dots. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's really good. Erin?
Yeah, I can't remember where I heard this. It was in the teachings of modern prophets, or I can't remember it. But he talked about going through the conference issues and looking for the promises that are there, and then finding out what you need to do to obtain that promise, or even looking for the blessings and find out what is it that you need to do to obtain that blessing, because the conference talks are full of blessings and promises. And instruction for what we need to do to receive those. I remember when Elder Bednar talked about doing family history and how he promised
right.
that Satan would not have
protect. Yeah.
Yeah, we yeah. would be protected from Satan by doing family history work. You know, who wouldn't want that, especially for our youth? I love the idea that they're promoting the youth doing this family history
That's
work.
That's so good.
Well, it reminds me of President Uchtdorf stressing the whys, and the blessings really are the whys, aren't they? You know, why do we do it? Well, we like to claim these blessings that Heavenly Father's willing to give us if we'll just act on what we've heard.
That's so good. I think that when we look at this experience, I like what you're saying is looking for. Whether it's going into conference, looking for an answer to a question and preparing, looking to be instructed. Sometimes I'll go into conference with an overarching question is, what would thou have me do? I'm serious about that is, what is it that I need to be doing? And I have other questions for sure, but it's like, is there something specific? And I have never been in a conference where I'm looking for an experience where I haven't been instructed. For me, I have so much room to cover and so many improvements that need to be made that my list
time.
Of what would the Lord have to do me to do. I mean, we're taking pages of notes here, but he has never failed to instruct and to guide when we look. And I like this. Our secretary in the priesthood department, Megan, and I were walking over, and she was talking about hearing Sister Dalton talking about what she does for conference. She looks and reads conference in different ways. She'll read it first for her personally, reread conference talk for her personal instruction. Then she'll reread it again, looking for or through the eyes for her family. Looking for what does this to do with my family? And then she also says, and then I reread it again a third time for my calling.
I love that idea. I just had talked to my daughter recently, whose husband is in law school, and they have taken conference with this kind of same approach. And the reason that they decided to do it, maybe not in the same way Sister Dalton did it, but his thought was that in the mission field, I always studied for my investigator. That's when my best studying would happen. So what if we approached conference this time together as husband and wife, looking for messages that we could use to bless somebody else besides ourselves? And she says it has been an incredible experience to look at conference that way.
Oh, I like this. I like this because it opens the door to see all the possibilities. And everyone who is listening, all of us, could go through and say, wait a second, I can glean. I can tweak this a little bit. But this concept of looking for is really a beautiful element. But this is the gospel, right? This is the way that the gospel actually it works. So for example, I can't help but think of just the most recent general conference. I had a thought in my mind with my changing structure of family. This is always on my mind is how can I help those that are at home? What do I do with my children who are not yet married but not in the home? Like I have a daughter who's at the university. What about my married children? How do I help what is my responsibility as a parent to my married children? I don't want to get in the way, but do I still have a responsibility? And what is my responsibility as a grandfather? I don't want to get in the way of parenting because that's not my role and responsibility, but I am a grandparent. And so I was thinking about this, and in the most recent conference, for example, like with Elder Perry, talks about goodly parents. And I remember listening to that, and I couldn't wait for the text to come out. And basic elements, and I thought, what can I do better? And he said, for example, he said, parents must resolve that teaching in the home is the most sacred and important responsibility. Amen. I believe that. I mean, I almost wanted to raise my hand again and sustain that one. All in favor, you know, everyone.
I'd raise my hand too.
And then there was an element. Then he went on to say there's five things that we should be doing. And while they were simple, they are quite profound. Number one, we should be praying together. I mean, this is so basic that sometimes, sadly, we overlook this. We overlook it. We should be reading our scriptures together. This was an interesting one to me, and this started to open up my thought of what can I be doing better. Avail ourselves or open ourselves to, he called it the church support network. And I thought, okay, what is this going to be when he was speaking? Teachers, advisors, other members of the church, the resources that the church provides, and there are numerous. And I thought, this is one way I can really help improve in whatever my situation is, whether that's with my children at home, my children out of the home, my married children, my grandchildren, is how do I provide opportunities to allow the church's support, the network, I like this, to help the family. And then he says, share testimony. And then number five, he said it, but organize your family based on simple rules, traditions, and even make sure that you're within your budget, you're using your economy wisely, et cetera. And I thought, wow, this is prophetic utterance, but this is good. Pray, read your scriptures. And then he started to open up for me a whole lot of other things like, wait a second, we can be teaching our family through traditions. like General Conference tradition. Any other thoughts that you gleaned or picked up or things that come to mind, please?
Well, if we listen to conference, and that in itself is uplifting and you know, strengthening. But if we don't do anything, you know, after that, then it's all kind of wasted on us. I think it's important, like you were saying, that we have a plan, that we have something that we're going to do, that we choose even one thing that we're going to do better or that we're going to not do anymore or something that we're going to change.
I like this.
That, you know, it should make us better. And that requires that we do something, that we act. And I think it's important that we stress that to our children. So this is what you heard. Now what are you going to do about it? How are you going to make yourself better?
I think you're just saying that it's part of the learning process. Exactly. We prepare ourselves, we receive it, and then we act. It's all part of that learning process.
Oh, and I like this because in gospel learning, you cannot forego the doing. If you want to know if this is my will and my work, then you must go and exercise and do. And then comes the testimony that this is God's work and you can do it.
It sounds really like John 7:17, doesn't it?
Isn't that the truth? I mean,
any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine.
That's right. And know in this situation, you know, and I don't want to appear weird or anything like this, but the word know in John 7:17 from the Greek is a little different than maybe the way we use that in today's vocabulary. Like as for us, to know is something that we know about in our mind. In the Greek concept of knowing, it's not only to know intellectually or in our mind, but it's experiential knowledge. And so that Greek word right there is it's know through experience. So it's not something we just say, yeah, I learned this in conference, the five things that Elder Perry said were dot, 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 you know, kind of a thing. It's, wait a second, I know that part intellectually, but the Greek concept in the scriptures, New Testament, say you know is that you go out and now you experience that, kind of like what you're saying, Aaron, is now we go and we do those things. And for me, every time in my life that I think I know something in my mind, but then I go out and I experience it and have some opportunity to do this, then I start to know it in my heart.
Exactly.
As well.
That's when it's planted in our hearts. Exactly.
Yeah. And isn't that conversion? I think that's where conversion comes. We may have, and I like this, this happened in General Conference. You have Elder Bednar talking about we might have a testimony, and even Elder Anderson talked about this. Yes, you might know that this is true, but we choose not to do it. And we have individuals who are not active within the gospel living, but they say, well, I have a testimony. This might be the great difference of knowing something intellectually and it makes sense to us and being deeply converted is knowing through our hearts by doing.
Yeah.
And so I like what you're saying, Aaron. This is really good to say, let's pick something out and now let's go try this. Let's experiment upon the word. Let's go give it a go.
Yeah.
So we'll know.
So we will know.
Right. Yeah. Something that impressed you from conference or a catchphrase. I remember when President Uchtdorf gave his talk, You Are His Hands. You know, you could just post that up in your home somewhere and the kids can be reminded, right, I'm his hands. He's depending on me to serve others and to help others. And, you know, so you can pick something that stood out or the children could pick something that stood out. You could post it in your home and so it's a daily reminder that we need to do something about this.
Good. Daily reminders, and I like this part about daily. So we have a daily experience where it becomes part of us. That's sometimes, I think, the problem with New Year's resolutions. We really talk about them on the day, meaning New Year's Day, and then a few days after, and then somehow it no longer becomes part of our daily routine, our talk, our walk, etc.
I am so glad you brought that up. I have five daughters, so this is another daughter I'm talking about now. She said that one thing they love to do is to make their – they've done away with New Year's resolutions. They make conference resolutions. They take the conference and then they apply that until the next conference at least, and then they make their new resolutions from there.
Oh, I like that for many different reasons. Also, it takes it from a full year of doing things to a 6 months, you know, kind of experience. I remember once when I was a teenager, Elder Kikuchi gave a conference talk, and as he was talking, he said, life by the yard is hard, but by the inch?
It's a cinch.
And as a teenager, I remember thinking, wow, that's good. And actually, I started applying that counsel saying, okay, wait a second, I need to take things in increments And that's one of the things I've always appreciated about general conferences is that we do have those at a six-month period so that they're fresh in our mind, our marching orders. President Kimball used to call them our marching orders for the next 6 months.
Yep.
They're doable. They're manageable. And then we refresh the tank. We get renewed direction and we adjust appropriately. Oh, I can't tell you how much I've appreciated the opportunity to talk about these things and learn from the things that you're doing, the sentiments of your heart, and also to fill of your spirits of this. I know conference is a great blessing to you. It is a blessing to all those who will come and drink from that wonderful fount. What a blessing this is. And sadly, we're out of time. But fortunately, we will be able to spend one more episode talking about conference in our families, on our marriages, and in our homes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.